Let's get to our guest now, Wei Yao is Head of Research and Chief APAC Economist at Societe Generale, joining us from Hong Kong. So much to talk about, including all these downgrades to China growth, but just want to start with the broader picture and certainly what we've seen from the Fed at Jackson Hole. Do you think that we are going to see inflation get back down to 2% without causing some kind of global recession?
Well, it's obviously very, very challenging. It's very clear that inflation is driven both by supply and demand. So the Fed has said itself that demand has to be destroyed to some extent to achieve their goal. So implicitly, that means it's going to be very challenging to avoid economic pains.
All right, let's get to the China picture because we're continuing to see these downgrades coming through from the economy. A Bloomberg survey now projecting China growth just 3.5% this year. I mean, that's well down from other projections of 3.9%, but even the 5.5% growth target that authorities had set. What kind of challenges are we still seeing in terms of your view of how we even get to 3.5% growth?
Okay, so there are two things here. One, zero COVID policy. This is becoming a persistent drag on the economic activity and, more importantly, the confidence of households and corporates. And the second problem, equally challenging, is the housing situation. The housing was already in a very bad shape before the Shanghai lockdown, but it has gotten worse because of the developers' cash flow problem and project delays and all that. So with these two big issues, the Chinese government, however, has not done much. This is really the surprising part. And if they continue to be so slow to respond, the 3.5% will be difficult to achieve.
What more can be done in your view then? Because, I mean, you do have some kind of policy action in terms of the cut to the MLF recently and that $146 billion of stimulus pledge. But what is needed? Is it more targeted towards the property sector in your view?
Yeah, certainly that should be one very important path to take, because the key here right now is to restore the household's confidence in housing. And this is about finishing these stalled projects and deliver the pre-sold apartments to the households. Without that, nothing else can happen. So the government, it's very clear the developers have no cash flow to do that. And not even the local governments. So here we actually really need the central government to step in. And here we got some news, but no confirmation. So that lingering uncertainty is not good.
Let's look at the currency moves as well. I mean, a fourth day yesterday of a stronger than expected fix gives you some kind of indication. Authorities are not that happy with a near two-year low with the yuan against the dollar. And you saw the on and offshore push past 6.9. How much further weakness for the yuan? You've got Goldman saying now 7. And I guess what kind of further implications are you expecting the weak currency to have on this economy?
Yeah, we also think 7 is quite possible in the near term. The trouble here is indeed the hawkish Fed we talked about, and PBOC is under pressure to ease, to support the economy. And of course, the PBOC once in a while will come in, want to slow down the pace of depreciation. But according to the past experience, they can only slow, but they can never stop. So we think there is more depreciation in the near term of RMB.
Okay. So more depreciation to that point of around 7. And just a quick word as well about the business survey that we've seen with American firms' optimism about China falling to a record low. I mean, if you have expats leaving, this is going to cause even further, weakness to the economy.
Yeah, certainly. I think this is a reflection of what we just discussed about the confidence shock from the zero COVID policy. Of course, there are also other factors making people more bearish these days, but this is really the biggest issue. If you can't have the certainty of business continuity, operation continuity, understandably, you know, companies will not want to invest.
Let's talk about the situation in Korea. We had our Kathleen Hayes speaking to the Bank of Korea Governor Ri at Jackson Hole, and Citi saying that his comments could raise some hawkish risks in the central bank's monetary policy. Ri basically saying that the Bank of Korea won't stop tightening before the Fed. What's your kind of outlook here on the Korean economy, and also the complications of this won at a 13-year low?
Yeah, sure. So the Korean economy obviously is going to slow because of the the external demand is on a path of deceleration. It's actually already started, and given how important it is for the current economy, it's hard to see how Korean growth can remain resilient in this environment. But meanwhile, they also have an inflation problem. Yeah, the headline has peaked. It's likely to decline here. But Korea has a little bit of the same dynamics as in the West, which is, the labor market is tightening, so there is demand pull inflation. So that really means, yes, the BOK has to continue to hike interest rates as well.
You talked there about inflation. I think the governor said himself that he expects inflation to slow below 3% by the end of next year. Are you seeing more broadly inflation peaking across Asia?
Well, it is coming. Well, in some countries, it's already here. For example, in as we can see, there are both demand pull and supply inflation in countries like Singapore, Korea, Australia. They have a tightening labor market as well. So in these places, inflation is definitely broadening beyond the food and energy. It will be harder to contain.
Well, speaking of beyond food and energy, we've got a Bloomberg Intelligence piece saying that the surging Singapore rents are something that's going to keep inflationary pressures high too. Does that kind of, I guess, spur more investment demand for residential properties and I guess the housing market in Singapore, or does it cool that demand?
That will come for sure, but in the short term, it probably still gonna take the policy tightening to cool some of the demand. Usually, the housing projects, that's gonna take time, and in this case, we're talking about the idea that inflation in Asia is actually also a problem for a lot of the central banks. It's they have to hike not because the Fed is hiking, but because they also have to contain their own inflation.
Well, yeah, let's talk about where you are in Hong Kong, because that has its own challenges too, as it follows the dynamic COVID policy. And we've talked here about businesses in China, not being very optimistic, and of course the exodus too of the brain drain in Hong Kong. What's your outlook for Hong Kong? Does the city sort of come back when we get these tough restrictions eased, or has Hong Kong changed forever?
Well, it's hard to say at this stage, but apparently it's going to have a couple of difficult years ahead. One is because Hong Kong still have a pretty restrictive entry policy, well, compared to the rest of the world. So that's not going to help. And once people are leaving, it's going to take time for them to come back. And the other thing is Hong Kong economy is very much connected to related integrated into China. Mainland and China is not going to do well in the coming few years, probably in terms of growth. There is a zero COVID, there is also a structural debt problem they need to resolve. That's going to take time.
All right. Thank you for your insights. Wei Yao is Head of Research and Chief APAC Economist at Societe Generale, joining us from Hong Kong.